Yeah.
Whoa. LA with some comfort room right now. Big buckets by the Lakers down the stretch.
Critical, ain't no time left on the clock. When it's your time, give them something to watch.
The Lakers are back in control of these NBA finals.
They want me to stop, but why would I stop? I am unstoppable.
The job is not done. We understand what's at stake.
Why would I stop? Chill.
I'm excited to see how we bounce back. I know we can do it.
Hold up, hold up, hold up. This the reason I'm alive.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Ooh, that trophy was pretty. We are coming to you live from the court where Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Lakers and Heat will be played in just a little more than 24 hours. I am Rachel Nichols. I got NBA champ Richard Jefferson with me here in the bubble. I got NBA champ Matt Barnes with us back in L.A. Welcome, gentlemen. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Kobe Bryant's legacy and the impact it has had on this current crop of Lakers. They're going to don their Mamba jerseys tomorrow night with the hope, of closing out the Heat. Miami, of course, wants a word there as well. First, though, I want to break down Game 5, where the Heat are fighting off elimination down 3-1. Even though the Heat lost Game 4, there were some silver linings for them there, like the return of Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson combined to shoot 6 for 13 from behind the arc. So, Matt, fill in the blank. The Heat win Game 5 if...
if LeBron doesn't play. I love Miami. I love their heart, their toughness, a blue collar team. Jimmy's a blue collar superstar. These guys have accomplished so much this season, but the fact that it's elimination, they're wearing the Black Mamba jerseys. Vanessa even blessed the Black Mamba jerseys by posting in her support. I'm sorry, Miami Heat, but tomorrow night will be the end of the season.
Wow.
Look, Matt, I appreciate you taking all of the pressure off of me saying something crazy. Because we're going to stay in a double-sided argument here. I think the Heat win Game 5 if they keep the exact same approach. Right? These games have gone down to the last couple of minutes, the last 2 minutes, and Matt knows that it's literally just about who makes shots and who doesn't hit shots in that moment. So Bam Adebayo now, after missing 2.5 games, he came back. He had a presence. He should be better in the next game. And we already saw the impact that it had on Duncan Robinson. So now you got Duncan Robinson who's playing well, and you have Bam Adebayo. So as long as they keep that same mindset and that same approach, that's how they can win Game 5.
Matt, do you think that there is a window for the Heat? I understand
playing. Anything can happen, Rachel. Can happen. Like I said, this team plays hard, and that's what got them through the playoffs. But I just think they've ran into a team that, although, you know, outside of one or two games, that they've been very competitive. It's just time to close the door. You know, you see LeBron's focused. He's so focused he can't sleep. Hopefully he gets a little bit of sleep. But I just think, I said after the last game that if they go to the black jerseys for Game 5, it was over. 2 days later, they announced that the black jerseys were coming. I just think it's a line. You know, obviously I picked the Clippers because I wanted to see a team I play for finally get over the hump. But obviously my Lakers are truest to my heart. And it only makes sense to close it out for Kobe in the black Kobe uniforms. And like I said, after Vanessa blessed him.
Hey, you've got your Warriors that we're going to talk about later in this show, too. I like, by the way, being on with the two of you, because between the two of you, you've played for
we've covered everything.
Half the teams.
We've covered everything. We can say we a lot.
Yeah. If we didn't play for, if me and Matt didn't play for your team, that's a problem for your team.
It's a problem for someone.
Yeah.
Usually, guys, when you get to this real crunch time in an NBA Finals, coaches stay away from trusting young players too much. The pressure of the moment is so big, and the crowds, right, are crazy. Fans really get on them. But we are in a different environment here in the bubble. Richard, you've seen during these games some of these young guns just going at it because it's a shooter's gym, and they don't have people yelling at them. Do you think the Heat can trust their younger shooters in this game?
1,000%. You know why they can trust their shooters? Because they have no choice.
Yep.
That's why they can trust their shooters. And I'm not even going to say just no choice. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are a large part of the reason why they're even in the NBA Finals. So you don't change something that's not broke. And so I think that the trust that they've been given is trust that has been earned, and rightfully so.
Absolutely. They can 100% trust these two rookies. And please don't take this wrong when I say this. I compare – So, I, at the end of last game, it was Bam and Tyler here went a high pick and rolls. Jimmy was in the corner, and you would see you would see Tyler miss a few shots, airball a few shots, but it really reminded me of Kobe back when he was doing that against Utah. He's learning on the biggest stage possible, making mistakes, playing well, but still making mistakes. So I think he is going to be a lot better for this. The Miami Heat is going to be a lot better for this down the road because this kid is handling pressure like no 20-0 we've seen in the finals before.
Yeah, and I love the fact that even after making some mistakes in front of the world, he just kept coming
He's playing. He had some key plays late. I love Tyler Herro. He's a dog. He doesn't stop. Yeah. He's relentless. And I think they really have a special player out there in Miami and Tyler Herro.
Yeah, Matt. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. And this is I'm going down on a limb here. Tyler Herro is a basketball player's player. Like, OGs look at Tyler Herro, and you're just like, there's something about this kid that's fun to watch. Like, I know fans love him, but it's not just when fans love you. It's when, like, basketball players texting each other, respecting him. They're like, yo, some of the stuff that this kid is doing is unique and it's special. So I'm a big fan.
All right. Well, Matt mentioned it. We're going to talk about it next. The Lakers announcing they are wearing their Mamba jerseys tomorrow night. Is that putting more pressure on themselves to close out in Game 5? First, though, please take a look at this fantastic piece from the great Jackie McMullen. She takes a look at how LeBron may have out-godfathered the godfather, Pat Riley. Love this idea. Take a look.
In some ways, the road to this year's NBA Finals between the Heat and the Lakers began in a Vegas hotel room in the offseason of 2014.
Pat thought they had a chance to re-sign LeBron, and he flew out to Las Vegas to meet with LeBron. He got the NBA championship trophies. He goes up to the hotel room. I think he knew pretty quickly that it wasn't going great, to the point that he called down and said, don't even bother bringing the trophies up. You can leave those on the luggage cart.
By the time Riley walked into that room, it was only a courtesy. And that really frustrated him, that there was nothing that he could say in that room to get LeBron to stay in Miami, and that he had made him fly across the country to do so.
This was foreign territory for Pat Riley, who was used to calling the shots. In 1995, he extricated himself from a messy power struggle in New York and assumed full control of the Miami franchise, earning him the nickname, The Godfather.
He wanted ownership. He wanted autonomy. He wanted a number of things that we really couldn't give him.
If the players think of him as the godfather, it's only because they want to think of him in that manner and they want to believe in his pretty much absolute authority.
That absolute authority helped Riley pull off one of the biggest player coups in NBA history in the summer of 2010.
We go into the meeting, he rolled up his sleeves, he takes a bag, he dumps championship rings out on the table back from 2006. His story was like, yo, this is what it's about.
Riley's creation of the Big Three became the envy of the NBA.
Back to back, they've done it again.
Over the next four seasons, they won two championships and made four finals appearances. However, Miami was stunned by the Spurs in the 2014 finals.
The Spurs are the 2014 NBA champions.
And Riley, sensing LeBron's restlessness, challenged his players at the end of season media session.
This stuff is hard. And you gotta stay together if you got the guts and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Riley had always demanded loyalty and received it in return. He expected the same from James. But to LeBron, who saw the Heat championship window closing, it was simply business.
LeBron James saw a better opportunity in Cleveland. He did exactly what Pat Riley would have done. He said, thanks, and I'm moving on.
It gets to the point where the student, as most students do, want to leave the mentor. Pat didn't like that.
It's over. The Cavaliers are NBA champions. The drought is over.
the sniping would continue for the next few years.
No more smiling faces with hidden agendas.
The two men didn't speak, delivering cryptic messages through the media.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Ow! For over a year before LeBron won his championship in Cleveland, he kept making references to a secret motivation that he had. Finally, the night that the Cavs won the championship in Golden State, he revealed that somebody in Miami had told him he was making the biggest mistake of his career in leaving.
Of course, LeBron pulled off yet another power move, joining the Lakers and convincing Anthony Davis to follow. Now, the man who out-godfathered the Godfather is on the verge of another NBA ring. And while both may say there's no added significance to this matchup in the finals, those who know them best beg to differ.
You couldn't write a better story. It's just two great organizations, two great teams, great players, just great executives just going head to head. And yes, it does mean something to beat the Lakers. Yes, it does mean something to beat the Heat.
LeBron learned in many ways how to become an empire builder, how to consolidate power, how to leverage power by watching Pat Riley. When push comes to shove, Pat Riley and LeBron James are the same. They'll cut you and move on. And ultimately, LeBron cut Pat Riley and moved on.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
Game 5 of the NBA Finals tomorrow, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the app. I don't know if anyone knows this, but the Lakers have a 3-1 series advantage on the Heat. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 8:30 Eastern. I'll be on the sidelines for that game. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm just saying. The Lakers are going to be wearing the Black Mamba uniforms for Game 5. Now, they already wore them for Game 2. They are 4-0 postseason in these jerseys. And Vanessa Bryant gave her stamp of approval on social media, quote, Mamba and Mambacita jerseys approved for Game 5. Let's go, Lakers. Which every time I see her post, I get a little bit emotional. I'm not going to lie. It is 8 months after his death. Kobe Bryant continuing to impact this Lakers team. The decision to wear the jerseys for the potential championship deciding game, that's no accident. Here is Scoop Jackson on how this uniform has helped the Lakers maintain their Mamba mentality this postseason.
Somehow, he's still here. His presence is so, so Kobe. Omnipresent, necessary, fabriced into everything this Lakers team is about.
The Black Mamba jersey means a timely moment of aspiration, inspiration, taking what we love to do and truly having a drive and a passion to be our ultimate best.
In 2017, Nike pitched Kobe on concept for the Lakers City Edition jersey. But he had his own idea, Mamba snakeskin.
Kobe was the creative director on the project. He wanted to bring to fruition more of the Mamba mentality. So that was our objective, to bring that through in the sense of a uniform.
That Mamba mentality has been woven into the spirit of this team through this journey.
Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!
When we put those jerseys on, we for sure play with an extra energy and effort because we know that we can't lose in those jerseys. If we lose in those jerseys, we just feel like we're letting him down.
Throughout this bubble sojourn, Kobe's impact became inescapable. All unified in the spirit he left behind. The words the Lakers speak come from a place deeper than the heart. Their own personal purpose of turning tragedy into mastery.
So in the words of Kobe Bryant, Mamba out. But in the words of us, not forgotten. Live on, brother.
In this Lives Matter moment, there's something about wearing the color black. It sometimes takes on a different significance now. For the Lakers, it became almost spiritual. Losing, no longer an option. Dignity and pride translated into effort. Everything Kobe stood for, it came through in the design.
All we can do is truly honor that legacy. Remember him, respect him, and make his uniform live forever.
They found a way to bond with him in a way they probably never would have were he still here with us. Kobe gave them something greater to tap into, an extended motive, something no other team had at their disposal.
We try to go out every night, especially when we wear those jerseys and compete to the highest level and have that Mamba mentality that we speak about, because we know that he's watching over us.
For us to honor him, being on the floor, this is what it's all about. And, you know, we're thinking about the Bryant family. They're with us, we're with you guys. We love you guys, and hopefully we're making them proud.
A unique, emotional, tearful, transformative journey of a group of men and a jersey becoming one.
The Lakers undefeated, as I mentioned, in the Mambas this season, and their offense has been almost 9 points a game better. Now, the original plan for the finals was to wear those jerseys in game two and game seven, but the Lakers made the potential switch, right, for the potential closing game. We are now joined by a new friend. Well, he's an old friend, but he's newly joining us, NBA reporter Dave McMenamin.
Hi, guys. Dave.
Richard, control with just a look. It's really impressive. Dave, what kind of added pressure have the Lakers put on themselves by wearing the Mamba jerseys tomorrow night?
Yeah, Miami Heat are a tough enough opponent just in themselves. You know, yeah. It hasn't been an easy road for the Lakers to go up 3-1 so far, and they want to put themselves in that moment. It's kind of like what LeBron did before Game 4, texting the team, even though they're already up 2-1, saying it's a must win. Well, this becomes a must win again.
Texting the world.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you want to honor the legacy. They obviously have already been 4-0. They were wearing them in Game 2 of every series because Gigi Bryant wore number 2. And they wore them for the first time against the Blazers in a Game 4, but it was August 24th. Right. I like it, though. I mean, I listen, like, if you're going to go for it, go for it. And this is what has been such a big theme and a part of their season. Some people don't quite get it and understand it. They see it online and they're like, well, are they, you know, messing with the legacy of Kobe? No, everyone in that locker room, like, has a personal connection to that guy. And it's been such a big part of their journey.
Yeah, no, it's you're right. There is no more added pressure. There's an NBA championship, you know, at risk. And so when you're talking about, you know, Kobe's legacy and these jerseys, there's no, I don't think the Miami Heat have any like added motivation because they're wearing these jerseys. This truly is about the Lakers and what they represent. And so look, the Miami Heat have their own focus. They have their things that they're focused on. They don't give a damn what jerseys that they're wearing. Their goal is to go out there and get a win. And I still stand by this. They would probably try and wear those jerseys until it's over. And I say they're either going to win a championship in those jerseys or they're going to lose a championship right. in those jerseys, because every closeout game, I would imagine they would want to wear them.
So the issue is that the Heat are scheduled to wear their black jerseys in six, and they have the choice now.
We can't go black and black?
We cannot, actually.
That's, man, look, come on. Adam, let's figure, Mr. Silver, let's figure this out.
I would just say this. When you talk about online, look, online, everybody says everything these days.
Right.
The Lakers have been criticized in some corners for, quote, using Kobe's memory in some way. And I would just say this. To your point of everyone in that locker room had a relationship with him, Jeannie Buss and the Lakers organization had a closer relationship with him than any team owner and superstar that I have experienced in the NBA. And Vanessa Bryant, obviously, had the closest relationship of all. If those people bless this, if those people feel that this is what Kobe would have wanted and the right thing to do, those are the people that get to decide. It is not a bunch of strangers on the internet. So I would just ask that part of respecting Kobe's legacy is respecting the people who knew him best, who loved him, who want to carry on with the name across the jersey that he dedicated literally half of his life to. And if this is what they want, that's good by me, as far as I'm concerned. So.
No, I could not agree more. Like I get amazed when people would try and question it. Oh, they're trying to, you know, use this for attention or whatever. It's like you could see his wife actually posting that she's excited about it. So at that point in time, the conversation's over.
There we go. Our new friend, old friend, Dave McMenamin, is going to stay with us up next.
You're going to stay here, Dave?
Yeah.
I guess they're letting me.
We're going to talk a little bit about the legacy of some of the other players involved in this series. Keep it locked.
You're one of the most well-known athletes on the planet. The Lakers are one of the most notorious brands in all of sports. How did those two things come together and amplify one another?
I think it's a perfect match. I made
the fade famous. The city is named the City of Angels. The angels are smiling on it. Grace, I'm
gracefully aging. I want people to say that LeBron James did it his way. Nostalgia, how I remember things. Remember
crowds, remember kings. Is it what you dreamed of? Or is everything and more? I mean, you have to... The Laker colors falling from the ceiling and the fans are going crazy.
Cleveland! This is for you!
I'm happy to be here at this point now in my career and at this point in time of the Lakers franchise today, where we're both wanting to get back to that promise.
Real kings everywhere stand up and come with the game. King's disease.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, live from the court here in the NBA bubble. And I do want to get to Rajon Rondo, who is looking to win his second career title. He has a $2.7 million player option after this season, Dave. So what is Rajon's future with this Lakers team?
I spoke to him late last season, and obviously we all know it was a disaster. And he was part of that. You know, as much as the flack that LeBron got for his part and the team's lack of success last year, Rondo did some things that didn't bring a lot of honor to the franchise, sitting on the bench with the stands in the middle of a blowout. Yeah. But he's been instrumental to their success. I have to imagine they would want to bring him back, if only for the reason that he is a bridge between LeBron James and Anthony Davis. He has an independent relationship with Anthony, as does LeBron, and it gives them another voice in that locker room, another strong perspective from experience. Think back to the most pivotal moment in these playoffs for the Lakers. Anthony Davis hitting the game winner at the end of the conference finals game 2 against Denver. The only reason that happens is Rajon Rondo checks himself into the game and is the trigger man. And if it was someone else, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope passing that ball in or anybody else, they would feel the pressure to run the play and get it to LeBron James.
Right.
But Rajon Rondo made the correct basketball play, found an open Anthony Davis, and the Lakers used that to get the momentum all the way to the NBA Finals.
Well, look, it's all about what the market is for a player. Like, you know, with that player option, the Lakers are going to keep him because he's undervalued right there. I'm saying, like, he's a very, very good bargain. So I think it's up to Rondo and what he wants. Like, this is at a time in his career where, you know, if they're fortunate enough to win the championship and he's accomplished that, he's accomplished pretty much everything that you can accomplish. So it just depends on what type of role he wants to be in.
It's so crazy, though, when you think back to just a few years ago, you were on the Dallas team that asked him to leave during the playoffs.
Well, asking him, telling him, like, there's, you know, there's a range. And look, I stand by this. Like, I love being Rondo's teammate. Extremely intelligent, hard worker, wants to win. You know, and so I understand where there was a little bit of a conflict there, but I think he's where he wants to be. And I'm not going to lie, even when we were playing in Dallas, he wanted to be in L.A. He said that when we were in Dallas. Okay. He's been saying it for years. So I think he's found a home. Just a matter of not if, you know, he wants to stay here.
And look, we talk so much about Jimmy Butler and fit. It's just the truth. And I say it all the time, right? The top 10% of guys in the league could play anywhere. The bottom 10% of guys in the league probably shouldn't play anywhere.
Yeah.
But that middle 80%, they either maximize or not, depending on fit. Rajon Rondo has a great fit with those players and this team.
I mean, after LeBron and Anthony Davis, who's been the third most impactful player for the Lakers this postseason run? I would say Rondo. Obviously, he wasn't there for the first round against Portland, mm-hmm. coming back from back spasms and that broken thumb. But ever since the Houston series on forwards, he has been so instrumental. And it's not just that play against Denver. Mm-hmm. It is the way he's gotten Markieff Morris going in the second unit, their camaraderie together.
Yeah.
And then it's quite frankly, the voice that he has in film sessions. I was told by a team source yesterday the Lakers had an off day, but they still had a team film session. And the two most vocal players, LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, both being very intense and engaged, according to a source.
Well,
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to get to another guy on the roster who's had his career certainly changed over the course of this season, Dwight Howard, right? Huge compliment from former Laker, Meta World Peace. He's always going to be Ron Artest to me. Sorry. Coach Vogel did a great job giving Dwight some shine as a starter. L.A., we put Dwight through a lot in his first stint. He had back surgery. We still bashed him. He had a disc the size of a flat softball removed from his back. Anyway, this is great to cement his legacy. Dwight replied to this piece to thank him. It was a pretty nice moment, right? And for our younger viewers, right? Should we just share?
Just share.
If you don't know who Ron Artest is, starter, of course, for that last Laker title team back in 2010. Much like Dwight in the present, he had a very, let's just say, difficult path to get to that point. Yeah. That title was a bit of a redemption story, right, for him. And look at Dwight's career path. He began on that Hall of Fame trajectory with the Orlando Magic right here in this city, 2004 to 2012. He was the one who led them to their last finals appearance in 2009. Of course, all those Defensive Player of the Year awards in 2012, traded to the Lakers, that one-year experiment to play with Kobe, Pau Gasol, and Steve Nash. Did not work, signed with the Rockets in 2013. Did not work with James Harden either. Dwight bounced around from team after team after that. Did not work. I could just keep saying that over and over again until he got to that non-guaranteed deal at the start of this season. Dwight, I'm so fascinated by the parallel between him and Ron, and you covered that team. How do you see Dwight, if he is able to win a title, starting in the NBA Finals?
It was a disaster of a season. I can't underscore that enough. And Dwight Howard was a huge part of it. It was oil and water between him and Kobe Bryant, the stage of their career, their approach to life in general. But quite frankly, Dwight didn't get enough credit for the way he played through injuries. I saw a picture of that disc that that Ron is referring to. Mm-hmm. It was gruesome. And he played through that. He played through a torn labrum that season. But the maturity side wasn't there. This year, he's a different guy. He's a breath of fresh air. And he's stayed by his word from the start. He said, I want to earn it. Mm-hmm. Don't give me a guaranteed contract. Let me prove that I am as important to this franchise is to me in this stage of my life. Mm-hmm. And here he was, even before the bubble started. He had some reservations about coming down here. The mother of one of his children passed away during the hiatus, and that's a tough thing to deal with. But he wanted to see through his commitment to the franchise, and here he is, a starter on a team that's one win away from the finals, from the championship.
Yeah, and it's so impressive because he knew what he had to do. And I think a lot of those stops that he had over the course of those years, he always felt like it wasn't his fault or there were things that could have been handled differently. But I think when he got here, he focused on himself. What can I do to help? Versus like, hey, I want to come here. I need post touches. I need points. I need minutes. I need all of these different things because that's who I am. It's like, hey, I get here and I want to see how I can help. And look, we saw it also this year with Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. Taking a step back from like what you once were and getting to a spot of I just want to play this game that I love and I want to contribute to a good team. And Dwight was so, so impressive this year. Look at what he did last round against Jokic. Mm-hmm. He was a huge reason why the Lakers were able to play and advance in that series. So I'm extremely happy for him. And I think this is a lesson to a lot of guys. As they get older, you got to change your mindset and then you'll get the success that you want.
And I think it's so interesting, too, when we talk about quote unquote redemption stories, right? It's nice to just slap that label on it and tie it up in a neat package. It's never actually like that,
yeah.
Right? Dwight has had an up and down season even this year. Yeah. He's said and done controversial things. He's not perfect in anyone's eyes, frankly, including his. He has talked about sort of the work he did on himself in the months leading up to that Lakers contract, sports psychology, spiritual advisor, really working on himself and who he wanted to be in the world. And it is never completely smooth, and it doesn't have to be, right? To succeed, it doesn't have to be perfect. He just has to be doing what he is doing, which is being all in, trying, and contributing. And I don't know. I just feel like that's such an important lesson for the world, besides just beyond basketball. So I really like seeing stories like Rajon's, like Dwight, watching people come full circle. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, friend.
Thanks, friend.
All season. Seriously, if you are not reading Dave's Lakers and NBA coverage on ESPN.com and the app, you're missing out.
He covers everyone in the NBA. Don't forget
except
that.
That's correct. Jefferson.
Every team.
Coming up, there's an extra day off between games 4 and 5, which is why we're sitting here on this court.
I got
that
you.
Benefit more. Matt Barnes is going to rejoin us. I can't even tell you the shenanigans going on here. We'll be back right here on The Jump. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell.
For some reason, they felt the need to, you know, try to make an example out of me, which escalated to, you know, me being tased and then me being booked for the night and going to the Milwaukee jail downtown.
He was approaching my car with his hand already over his gun, and my life was at a threat.
I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as Black people in America.
We keep loving this country, and this country does not love us back.
Be sure to tune in to The Undefeated Presents The Stop on Sunday at 5 o'clock Eastern. I have seen bits of that. It is incredibly powerful, and I would recommend it to everyone. I want to turn our attention now back to the court. The Warriors' two-week minicamp ended on Tuesday. Klay participated. Steph and Draymond were excused. Steve Kerr then joined our friend Tim Kawakami's podcast, The TK Show, and was asked if the Warriors' style of play is going to change at all next season because, of course, they have new personnel. Steve responded by, well, I'm just going to let you listen to how Steve responded. Check it out.
We're not reinventing the wheel, but we have very different personnel around those guys. You know, we're still going to be the Warriors. We're not going to all of a sudden turn into the Rockets and change our offense and, you know, have one guy go high pick and roll 70 times a game.
That would be so you, Steve. Just do that. Just do iso ball, pick and roll. I think that would be where your heart is with this.
I think I would resign first.
Richard, just like Steve Kerr's old teammate, Michael Jordan, on The Last Dance, just a little drive-by here and there while he's telling some completely other story. The Rockets caught some. Fair or foul, do you think, from Steve Kerr?
100% fair. I think people have been questioning them for the last year with all the injuries that they faced, you know, struggling this season. And he's like, look, we're going to get our horses back. And we have a top pick. And we picked up a very, very quality player in Andrew Wiggins. So he's like, look, we're going to play the way we've always played. And that's high-level, successful basketball. They had one of the greatest stretches in NBA history. So he's allowed, just like Phil Jackson used to do, to throw little digs at people that they have taken down multiple times over and over and over again.
I see nothing wrong with it. Yeah. You know, obviously, the Warriors have their recipe for success in championship as we saw their dynasty run. As much as I love James Harden, as great as a player he is, that type of basketball will not win a championship. So I think he was just kind of stating the obvious by taking a little jab, but also letting everyone know that the Warriors are going to be fine next year.
Well, I like Steve's sense of humor. Yeah. I like seeing him throw it out there. And I would definitely recommend, by the way, Tim Kawakami's podcast to anyone. He always gets some entertaining conversations on there. I do want to get to the larger Western Conference picture, though. According to Caesars' William Hill, the Warriors have the fourth best odds of winning the 2021 NBA title, despite finishing with the worst record this past season. Now, as we know from San Antonio Spurs history, we've seen these sort of one-year blips before when a key player is hurt, and then all of a sudden they come back loaded with a high draft pick. Now, the Warriors are not going to get Tim Duncan, but Matt, they are going to get someone, and they're still going to have Steph and Klay and Draymond. Where would you rank the Warriors next season in the West?
I think the Warriors in the top three in the West. They're coming back with a well-rested Steph and Klay, and you know, Draymond, well-rested as well. Whether they decide to move the pick and maybe package it with the young talent and possibly Andrew Wiggins to, you know, steal a superstar from somewhere. But they're very high on Andrew Wiggins. So I feel that the Warriors are going to be right back where they left off, definitely in championship contention next year, now that they have everyone healthy.
No, I completely agree. Now, let's take the Kevin Durant Warrior situation out, where they were just the most dominant team in basketball. And even if they just played okay, they were going to win a championship. They won a championship and then won 73 games and lost in the finals. That's the style of basketball that they're going to go to, where it's more of a balanced attack. You're going to have a ton of guys that are able to contribute around Steph and Klay. So as much as, like, the NBA has had, you know, three guys here, you know, three guys there, now everyone's back to being the same kind of level. And when everyone's on the same level, this Warrior duo is top two or three in the league.
One thing
Matt,
I will say,
like,
though.
Matt, do you like how Richard got in there, though? Matt, do you like how Richard got in there, that 2016
just talking basketball. Series.
Do you like how he just brought that in there?
Hey, today's the day for sneak digs. I'm not mad at it. But the one thing I will say is the Warriors are going to have to rebuild that bench. The bench was always very key for them with Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, David West. Patrick McCaw. They always had a lot of guys that added so much to that team from the bench. So that's one thing I will say, and I said last year, was they definitely need to build that and strengthen that bench out.
Well, look, one of the things that was a benefit from sort of the drudgery of last season was that they did have young guys getting a lot of reps and a lot of time out there, and they did make some discoveries. But I agree with you completely. I agree with anything Matt Barnes says on the Warriors because he has a championship ring from that team that we have now personally delivered to him.
Oh, boy.
I'm all in. All right, stick around, everyone. We are breaking down Game 5 after this. We'll be right back.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
We'll have Game 5 of the NBA Finals tomorrow, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, ABC, ESPN, Deportes, and the app. I will be holding it down on the sidelines, so join us there. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols here with Richard Jefferson, Matt Barnes. LeBron had an interesting answer at his media availability today when asked about being embraced by the Laker faithful. Take a listen.
What I've learned being a Laker is that the Laker faithful don't give a damn what you've done before. Until you become a Laker, you got to do it with them as well. So they don't care about your resume at all. Until you become a Laker, and then you got to do it as a Laker, and then they'll respect you. I've learned that.
Matt, you came to the Lakers, and people had a lot of questions about you, that fan base did.
Yeah.
Is he right?
Oh, absolutely. The Lakers have one of the realest, rawest, in-your-face fan bases. And if you remember, when he first came here 2 years ago, there was as many as a lot of people loved the move. But a lot of people weren't happy and said he had to really earn his stripe because everyone wanted to put him on that Laker Mount Rushmore already. So he's in the process of earning everyone's love and respect. He'll win his first ring this year, and he has a chance to win another ring next year. But when it's all said and done, he'll be an all-time Laker great. He'll be an all-time Laker favorite. And him and AD will be able to hang their jerseys up there one day.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think one thing that he learned also is that just because there's Kobe fans and then there's Laker fans. So you think that they're one and the same, but
no,
there's a difference. Like Matt knows, there is a difference. And there were Kobe fans that when Bron joined the Lakers, were never going to accept that. They were never going to accept that their favorite player and Bron were going to wear the same jerseys and he had a chance to win more titles underneath that Laker jersey. So I think he understood that. I think that was the hardest part of his first year is that they weren't going to trust the process the way they had trusted the same process in Cleveland and in Miami, and he had to earn it, like you said, Matt.
I have friends that are diehard Laker fans from here, and they still hate on LeBron for some reason. I'm like, he's about to win you guys a championship, and they still like Richard said, he couldn't have said it any perfect. There's Laker fans, and then there's Kobe fans, and some obviously they're going to be very happy to get this ring, but you know, the dislike for LeBron may never hate. But I love what he's doing. Like I said, he's going to earn everyone's love and respect with this ring and a possible shot at another one next year.
If he wins, obviously, still a few games to go. And Matt, I will say that the whole lesson about Kobe fans and Laker fans, there were Kobe fans who didn't like you when you got to the Lakers because of the
threats.
Whole Flinch
Rachel,
thing.
Rachel,
who endorsed it.
Hey, I got death threats coming. You better not come back to L.A. We better not see you in L.A. this summer. And then, like I said, Kobe called me in the summertime and had me come be a Laker. So, like I said, these Laker fans and Kobe fans are real out here. You got to be careful.
I just thought it was amazing that Kobe Bryant was standing there saying, I want Matt Barnes on my team. And fans of his were like, well, because of Kobe, we can't ever have Matt Barnes on our team.
Right.
There you go. All right, back to the Heat, though. Eric Spoelstra said today Goran Dragic remains doubtful for Game 5 with that plantar fasciitis. It has been hard watching Goran try to play, try to warm up. Obviously, just the foot is not going to let him. Now, they both have off days, both teams. Who do you think benefits more, Matt, from the extra 24 hours?
I think LeBron benefits more. Himself, because he's the one with the most mileage here. You know, he's year 17, the age he's at, the level he's been playing at, and no one has more of an impact on whether their team wins or loses than LeBron. So obviously it helps Bam, and I still don't see Goran playing because that plantar fascia is nothing you could really play with, but it's going to help Bam's neck. But at the end of the day, it's LeBron with the most mileage and the oldest player out here, and he benefits the absolute most.
Now, I kind of agree with you, but I'm still, I understand Bron as an individual, but I think the Miami Heat benefit the most. I think, you know, Jimmy Butler is having to play, like, there's a usage rate that yes. I don't know that he's done before. Tyler Hero, he is doing things at a level that, you know, he definitely needs some time, but then also you get a couple of days to allow for Bam Adebayo's, you know, shoulder to heal. Then, you know, guys can get some more film.
Rich,
they
we
can
get
check
it.
Things
you
out.
You want Miami to win tonight. We get it, Rich.
No, I'm going to be or really tomorrow, honest. Can I say this? I'm ready to go home, Matthew. I'm ready to go home. So, you know, I want it to be a great series, but hey.
You know who gets to decide? The guys on the
they
court.
Do.
This just in at the buzzer. Clippers president of basketball operations, Lawrence Frank, has won executive of the year. He beat out Sam Presti, Pat Riley, who were the other two finalists. Rob Pelinka of the Lakers, seventh. Richard, I want to note.
Okay.
This was not voted on by, quote, the media, who everybody
Thank
loves
you.
To bash. You know who voted for this? Other executives.
Yeah, well, okay, let's break this down right now. Last year, their team went to the playoffs. They went to the first round. This year, they did not. They lost in the second round. And then combine that, and I look, Lawrence Frank, he was my coach. Not one of those free agents went to Los Angeles because of Lawrence Frank. They all went there because of Doc Rivers. They wanted sure. to go play for Doc
hey,
Rivers.
Congrats
he
to
was
Lawrence
the recruiting
Frank.
Guy.
Congrats to Lawrence Frank, but I know he'd much rather have a championship ring than this award right here.
You're going to disagree with me, Matt? You're
no,
not
no,
saying
not
that
at all
of those
not
free
at all.
Agents?
No, they
all
definitely
those free agents wanted to play with Doc.
Absolutely. They definitely didn't go there for Lawrence, but it's a tip of the hat. He'd much rather have a championship ring, and I guarantee, than this award, because they definitely underachieved this season.
Here's what I will say. First of all, I am a fan. I think he's done a really good job in that front office. The maneuvers that they made as a front office, and Mike Winger earns a shout out for this. The trading of Tobias Harris to get them the draft up, allowing them to lure Kawhi Leonard because they were able to pull off the trade for Paul George. Is some, you know, that
Lawrence
is a show game. That's a game. That is
perfectly.
That being said, looking at this list, remember, it's the other executives who vote. Do you think there's some petty here?
I think there's some petty here, but look, Lawrence Frank, I'm not trying to discredit him. I'm just saying when you look at everything in its totality that I don't know, like, it was probably a little bit more Doc Rivers still bringing in players than Lawrence Frank.
Hey,
that's all
if
I'm saying.
Draft, seventh, if Pat this Riley situation third. Doesn't work out, this will be his last GM award or executive award.